नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. I was thinking that Radha Pramod Prabhu would be here to do the recap, but I don't see him. So just give me just one second. I'll just find out if he's joining or not. If not, then I'll do the recap. Just give me 1 minute. I'll just call him and then get back. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'm sorry. Actually, yeah, Radha Pramod Prabhu is joining in a minute or two. So we will, in the meantime, we will just see the verse once, and we will see its meaning. Oh, Radha Pramod Prabhu has joined already. So I'll just make him the co-host. So. He'll start and then we will continue from there. Yes, Prabhu, over to you. You can start as soon as you are ready.
True. Just give me a 10 seconds. I'll just open my folder.
Yes.
It's that time. I was doing mind map only. Somehow I'm really sorry.
Okay. No problem, bro. We'll wait. So in the meantime, what I'll do is let's
I'll start, bro. I'm done.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Yes, bro.
So I will just recap in 1-2 minutes what we are seeing from Maharaj, because it's a continuation. So Maharaj Ovagyan Timirindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitamya Tasmai Sri Guru Yanoha. So Maharaj is discussing the role of mind in cheating. Then he says the cause of hypocrisy, that is internal cause and external cause. Internal cause is our false ego, mind filled with unholy desires, and external is itos, which is severely judgmental. Then he discusses about the root cause of hypocrisy. So mind filled with unholy desires. There are two ways to deal with it. One is to hide and one is to deal with it. And dealing is done when we saturate ourselves with Krishna conscious vibrations and have happy Krishna conscious engagements and remain in a prayerful mood. So if we hide, then we become more and more hypocritical because we want to, and because there is a cheating tendency in it. Then after this, Mara speaks about pretense. It is to be something that we are not. It is pride that makes us to pretend, and pride manifests as lack of humility, lack of tolerance, and inability to offer respects to others. So then Maharaj describes that we have this tendency to impress others and to get appreciation from them. And in doing so, we constantly think about ourselves. So in the previous section, Maharaj was telling what is this cheating propensity is when we start thinking about ourselves constantly. That is the main cheating tendency. So here also, same thing. When we, even when we are staying in the association of devotees, because we want to, we are going for appreciation and recognition, then we start thinking about ourselves and that continues our cheating tendency. So that's why we are unable to recognize Krishna. So this is a very important point what Maharaj is telling. Krishna is present everywhere and is coming to us in many ways, but we are not able to see. So he's coming through the words of spiritual master, he's in everybody's heart, but we cannot see because we have this evidence. And how to give up this cheating mentality? So then there is a story how Hanuman is trying to hide from Ram, so he could not recognize. So as long as we have this pretense, be something else, we won't be able to recognize Krishna. This is very what Maharaj is telling. And Raghunath Das Goswami urges to give up this cheating mentality. And giving up cheating is a vital aspect of anartha nivritti. And further, we have to keep watching even very, very small things that we are doing to know what is my motivation in doing it. So, like, we have to, then that will help us to recognize. And then there is a desire for recognition also. This is also another cheating propensity. The desire for recognition, honor is the most dangerous anartha because we begin seeking satisfaction of this anartha in the society of devotees. Especially, this is for all of us because we are in the society of devotees. We have to work on seeing this, the desire for recognition and honor. So this is what Maharaj is telling. And desire for recognition is most subtle desire of for sex. And then we want to be recognized, we want to be respected, we want to be glorified, we want to be center of everyone's discussion. This is what happens also. And then there is a discussion how anarthas come in a subtle way and also come in a very noble ideas, like Arjuna is getting a desire not to kill the Drona, Bhishma and Yudhishthira don't want to speak lies. So then we had discussion. These are obstacles in the form of apsaras, like good thoughts. So when Chaitanya is Nadharam, Najanam, Nasundarim, there is also, I do not want lovely words, lovely ideas and thoughts. So this also is there. And at first, deception comes in harmless ways. So person, then this is the next, I'll just share the screen again. So here the so initially the deception comes in a very harmless way. We feel okay, I'm just doing small some changes here and there, so it's not so dangerous. So we may feel like that, but later on, like, we may jokingly make some statements, or to win the argument, we may make statements. But gradually, a person becomes accustomed to behave in this way. So this is what, how slowly, slowly it enters into our system. And this small sense of innocence trifles, turns into offenses. So this is very important. Why we should be careful with small things? Because eventually it lead to offense. And how it lead to offense, Mara explains very nicely. How deception turns into offensive behavior. And he tells up from Nartam Das Thakur, do not trust your body and your mind. Otherwise, you will be cheated out of habit. And when we don't work, like Prabhuji was also giving example, like we have some problems, but we don't even recognize them. We go on with it. I have anarthas. But we don't take help, we don't take time to recognize what problems I exactly have. So this is another problem. And then slowly, slowly it leads to offenses. If you don't work on identifying our problems, I know I have anarthas, but what I have, I didn't work on it any time to know also. And then he says that we should not trust, because we start with deceiving ourselves initially, because we do, okay, this is what is correct. And if you speak the same, doing the wrong thing, after some time we start believing it is right only. Then we start deceiving ourselves. Then we deceive other Vaishnavas, and then we end up in deceiving our spiritual master only. And in this way, we'll start committing offenses. Because if we are deceiving Vaishnavas and spiritual master, it is an offense. And then, now, this is very important, like how with these donkeys trickling urine, because that is burning us. How it is burning? It is burning our mind and soul. So Maharaj explains how it is burning. Because mind gets burned, it is always in anxiety to protect that hypocritical act. So it is a one type of burning. We are always in anxieties. Nobody should come to know about it, what I am. So it always, we have to act, we have to protect. So it's one way, it's burning only. And soul get burns in three ways. Unless the deception is given up, the soul cannot progress towards Krishna. So this is one way for the soul. So for mind, burning is anxiety. For the soul, it is away from Krishna, that is suffering. Deceptive behavior gradually leads to offenses which steals away our devotional credit. This is for another way for the soul. And the offenses burn the soul by gradually taking away the desire to serve Krishna. So this is how the soul is getting burnt. So Charan Mukta. And then Srila Jiva Goswami says, deception on the spiritual path, how it is happening. So this is very important. How it leads, if we are deceptive, how it is so risky for us. And this deception, how it is in our consciousness. Outwardly, we bow down before our Guru, the Sadhus, the Vaishnavas and Sri Bhagavan. While internally, we do not have faith in them. So this is very dangerous. And how, what it leads to. And another reason why they do it, to appear good in other sides, to get some good position or facility, etc. But if you lack faith, respect in our spiritual preceptors, what happens? We'll not get absorbed, we'll not be able to absorb our mind and heart in their teachings. This is the first thing that happens. If I am not able to think of my guru all the time, there is no absorption, then what happens? Then we end up absorbing our mind in asat sangha. Because we lack faith, we start watching TVs and movies and justifying, saying that I need it for our preaching. So we lose faith, and there are many examples discussed. So then if we are doing it, that means we are lacking faith. This leads to spiritual talk and then backbiting, which leads to cruelty and ultimately to violence. So first is deception, there is a lack of faith, absorption in extraneous matters, and then spiritual talk, cruelty and violence. So this is how our path goes down ultimately. Now, first sign of deception. What is the first sign of deception? This is explained that we lack faith in Guru. We think, what is so special about him? So then the example is given that Rai Rama, he made a flyer. The man who changed the consciousness of world. Prabhupada said, it is not a very good flyer because Guru is not a man. So because he is seen as an ordinary person there. So we should know that Guru is not something ordinary. Guru is Naramati. And results of careless execution of devotional service, because that is also what happens when we don't have faith, then in the spiritual master and his teachings, weeds gets reinforced more strongly, and attention to details and attention to our motives is very important. So this we lack when we are cooking for somebody or doing any service. We lack this attention to details. And the main quality of a devotee is frankness, simplicity and absence of hypocrisy. And then we have last part is like one who thinks, speaks and does the same thing is called Mahatma. Then Maharaj gives that there are four essential things that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur tells about a devotee. So he says four are very difficult to remember. At least we can remember the two, simplicity and duplicity, but determination. But the four things are simplicity or frankness, being focused on the purpose, determination or having one goal, and not depending on the opinion of others. So these are the four things that are essential for a devotee according to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Now, for dull people of Kali Yuga, they can just remember this simplicity and determination. And what is the litmus test or to gauging our sincerity to attain Krishna? This is very important. If I want to know whether I am sincere or not, so this is very simple for all of us to understand. Respect towards Krishna's Thadiya. Do have respect for them. Things, places, persons, objects, etc. If we cannot respect Thadiya of Krishna, we don't have a sincere desire to please Krishna. So if we are able to develop respect for things which are connected to Krishna, that means I want Krishna also. That is the proof. And above all, we must respect devotees and never talk ill of them. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says, people appear to be serving Krishna while doing, but they do not respect Vaishnavas. Then they are committing an offense to Krishna and Krishna will not accept their so-called service. Then the story of Duryodhana, who unites Krishna for big feast, but Krishna goes to Vidura. He says to Duryodhana, because you hate my devotees, that's why I cannot accept you. So this is how Krishna is not accepting our service if we are not able to give respect to the things that are connected to Krishna, the people, persons. If we are able to respect them, then whatever service we are doing, then Krishna is accepting them. So that's why this is very important. We have respect and then there is simplicity and determination. Hare Krishna. Sorry for the delay.
Hari Bol, very amazing recap. So I'm, yeah, this is really amazing. I don't think I need to do any recap. I will directly start with today's section. But before I do that, let's, because it was very wonderful recap. You have covered all points at the same time. You know, it's not like, you know, you went through the whole slides, you know, the written material was not there, but you very beautifully summarized the content. So wonderful. So what I'll do is I will directly start discussing the next section. I will just share the screen. So before I start this, let's see if there are any quick comments, questions, discussion points. Anyone would like to share anything before we start today's discussion? You can please raise your hands and we can have a short discussion before we move ahead. Very beautiful recap Radha Pramod Prabhu did. So if you remember either what we discussed last week or if you have anything that you might want to share based on what Prabhuji has said. So I'll wait for a few seconds to see if there anything anyone would like to share. Add. Yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanyavad Prabhuji. Prabhuji, regarding this Tadiyana aspect we discussed at the last point last time. So I was like feeling that many times this is a practical difficulty like faced many times that we see many devotees where there are serious problems like like somebody maybe you know four regulative principles ko break ho raha hai or something like that, but the person is preaching also very well. In that case, yes, at one point we understand that he is able to do some devotional service, that means Krishna has accepted him. But at the other aspect, yeah, you see that, okay, he is behaving really violently with the other devotees or something like that. So there is no respect actually remaining in the mind. Because and then still we know that yes, he's a tadiya of Krishna, is doing some service for the Krishna, so you maintain some behavior or maybe you kind of cut off, so or you don't say anything about the bad aspect of it. So is it a deceit in that way, or is it a right behavior, or how we should be acting in such circumstances?
I mean, you see that the person is preaching, but he is also showing some violent behavior towards other devotees.
Towards others, so or to even to the extent of breaking the four regulative principles.
Okay. And you are not able to respect him.
Yeah, like means I to sit in front of that such a person and listen something where he what he is preaching and what he is acting, there is a wide gap. So naturally, that respect doesn't come up. I mean, if somebody
So that is quite possible. So therefore, we can give basic respect, but ultimately. To hear from that person and take inspiration, definitely in one sense, we should be able to respect him, or he should be commanding respect, only then we will be able to take shiksha from that person. So in one sense, see, there are multiple ways of looking at it. If it is a daily Bhagavatam class you have been attending every day. So you can see that that he is, in one sense, he may not be able to follow, but as long as he is speaking what is given in the Shastras, then you can see him as a medium through which the teachings of the Shastras are coming. So if something is relevant to you, you can accept. And if something is not relevant, you don't have to. Because every single principle, honestly speaking, many of the things which I am discussing here from Manasiksha, I honestly struggled a lot to practice many of these things. So different people may have different levels, but the point is, if we feel that, in order to speak, one should be able to perfectly follow it, then it becomes, then we will be the losers in one sense, because then we will not be able to take shiksha from anyone. But having said that, if someone is really in a very, there is a very distinct dichotomy between what he is speaking and what he is this thing, and if he is very forcefully speaking about it, then it's very natural that we may not have the inspiration to accept it. So, but still, the point is, if he speaks something directly from Bhagavatam, because it is connected to Bhagavatam, there may be some point, or at least a purport he may read directly from Srila Prabhupada's book. So, and it may be useful for us. So, therefore, see, ideally, when it comes to the speaker's mood and hearer's mood, this is very important to understand. A common man's perception, I'm not stretching it too much. So there is a limit to it. So you have to accept it within the elastic limit of this example. I'm not stretching it too much. But a common man's perspective is that, he's not able to follow things. So what is the point of hearing from him? So that is a common man's perception. He will not see that at least he is trying to follow. He will see that he is not following. So I will not. So what is the point hearing from him? Whereas a devotee's perception towards that speaker should be, he may not be following, but he assure, or at, I will give him the benefit of doubt that he must be trying to follow it, but he is not able to follow. So if that benefit of doubt, if we can give him, then when he sits in Vyasasana, at least some important principles that he may speak, we may be able to gather. Okay, so our thing should be that when, as a listener, when we approach the speaker, we should understand that I cannot have an aam aadmi vichar. Aam aadmi ka vichar kya hai? Uska, if he is not a follower, I will not listen from him. Right? But a devotee's vichar is every sadhaka is struggling at various levels. But even though he may be struggling in his personal practice, but still, because he is speaking from Bhagavatam, you know, I will accept it by giving him the benefit of doubt that he must be able to practice it. So there is a difference between inability to practice and unwillingness to practice. So when you see that a person is not practicing, it could be an inability to practice, or it could even be unwillingness to practice. But we would never know whether it is due to unwillingness to practice or inability to practice. It would be good for us, whatever may be the reality, if we give him the benefit of doubt that it is inability to practice, but he is very much willing to practice. Otherwise, why would he sit on the Vyasasana and very confidently speak about it? So if we give that benefit of doubt, then we get the benefit of Bhagavatam. But if we cannot give that benefit of doubt, then we cannot listen and nothing will percolate. So this is the mood of the hearer. The hearer's mood should be, let me give him the benefit of doubt that his inability to practice is because of his he's not practicing is because of his inability to practice and not unwillingness to practice. Whereas a person who is sitting on the Vyasasana, he should not think, are all persons who are sitting here, they are actually devotees and they should not be having aam aadmi ka vichar. Main jo bol raha hu, agar main uska aacharan kar pa raha hu ki nahi, whether I am able to follow it or not, they should not see that. They should, if I am not able to follow, they should accept that I am not following because I very much want to follow, but I am not able to. They should take it like that. No, he should not think like that. The speaker's mood should be, I am not able to follow. So how can I shamelessly speak about that same principle so forcefully with a holier than thou attitude, as if I am perfectly following it? So that should be his mood. That inability to follow should create natural humility. Not natural humility, at least it should create some humility in his heart. And he should speak about that principle in a very humble way from within his heart. So while the speaker should have this mood of humbly presenting it, even though he may be able to follow, and the listener should learn to give the benefit of doubt to the speaker in order to get the benefit of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but of course, there is a limit to this. If someone is grossly breaking the four regulative principles and, doing a lot of cheating and all that, and sitting on the Vyasasana and very powerfully instructing others, then it is very natural that we may not be able to hear from that person. So if there is lot of that kind of a negative thing, that whatever we hear, we have had lot of negative experience, that as soon as we see him on the Vyasasana, we feel very offensive, then it is better that you don't attend that class only. Because when he is sitting on the Vyasasana, in one sense, he is like a representative of Vyasa. And if you have constant such powerful negative vibrations, then it is better that you take some time out, resolve them internally, and then you can start hearing from that person. I mean, this is something, I don't know if it's relevant. Madhavi Gopi Mataji, is that relevant?
Yes, to some extent, yes. But like as you said, that if suppose there's too much violation of the regulative principles or something, and we are not able, like I'm not able to resolve with it, then it is
don't attend the class.
And it is not about attending the class. Like suppose somebody is leading some moment or something, it is better to keep distance, from such person, Prabhuji.
Yeah. If you are
In one sense, he is Tadi of Krishna. So if we keep saying something or in our mind also some thought comes, in a way we are doing offense.
See, the golden principle is stay. If you cannot internally reconcile the negative tendencies that you have in heart towards people, if it becomes very difficult, then stay away from that place. The best place to stay where you can stay positive, even if that means to some extent, you know, for some time away from a particular group of devotees. If you are struggling to stay positive, if you are constantly consumed by negativity, then it's better you stay away and stay positive. So the best place to perform devotional services where you can stay positive and inspired. You are overwhelmed by positive thoughts and you are inspired to practice devotional service. That is the place to be.
Yeah.
So either you should be able to internally resolve it, or if it becomes very, very difficult, then better you make a slight change of place, move away from that group so that you can stay positive. And so,
yeah, that's very true. So in that way, we can also, you know, give some respect to that person as he is a tadiya, because then there will be no repeated stimuli of that kind. When you
keep a distance, you will see that you are able to maintain basic respect.
And means we will not commit offense also. So that's a good quality. Yeah.
Correct.
Thank you for
me. Srinivas Prasad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Dhanutna Prabhuji.
Understood.
Prabhuji, in contention to this question only, it reminds me of His Grace Ayendra Prabhu. He used to say that if one has not completed his minimum rounds, 16 rounds, so if he's doing kirtan or he's preaching, he's spreading or giving his anarthas to the person who are hearing him. So sometimes when I'm talking about myself, so if sometimes I have my two rounds left, and sometimes I talk with somebody and I want to tell somebody to give suggestion to somebody, so I it reminds me of that. I am not completed with my 16 rounds yet. I have two rounds left. So should I speak or not? So sometimes we see that, like Mataji was saying, that if we are not done with our basic things, so when should we preach, or like as Ayendra Prabhu used to say, that if you are preaching in that mood, that you have not completed your basic sadhana, then you are spreading your anarthas to the people whom you are preaching. So can you guide on that note?
Yeah, I mean, the point is your eagerness should be to complete your duty, your sadhana, and it not be to preach, even though you have not completed your basic sadhana. So when you have not completed your basic sadhana, then the eagerness should be to complete your basic sadhana and not to go out and preach. But if the situation demands that, you have to give some basic guidelines or something, if the situation demands, then you may have to do it. But still, you should understand that my eagerness should be to complete my basic sadhana and basic duties. So as long as that is clear, it is not that, one day when I was chanting, one devotee had some problem and he came and it was very urgent, I had to address. But how can I do that? You know, I have not completed my 16 rounds. It's not like that. Even though you may be giving some guidelines, but it is, but you still, your eagerness is to take care of your basic sadhana you committed for. That's the mode. The mode is important rather than, you know, just the details.
Right, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Okay, one last question. Krishna Rupa Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Dhanvat Pranam.
Prabhuji, you were mentioning just now, I mean, mummy wants to add this comment actually. She was saying that, whoever is sitting on the Vyasasana in the temple room or mm-hmm. wherever he's sitting, so she's saying mm-hmm. that he might not be very pure. Mm-hmm. She's saying that he might not be pure, but the message that he's giving is actually pure.
Yeah.
Uttam
yeah.
that he's giving is pure. Yeah. So she's telling that we should not judge, you know, that whether he's, you know, pure or not pure, but the message that he's giving is very pure message. So we have to take it in that mood.
Correct, that's correct.
You're mentioning. So,
yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So the message that he is giving is pure and the process that he is practicing is very much purifying. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati. So yes, right now he may not be able to follow, but we can take that, I mean, honestly speaking, many times when, I mean, especially those principles which I struggle to follow, I many times bring out those points and speak it in forums so that I feel that, oh, I have spoken this in front of so many people. So this gives me a kind of, in one sense, like force or a kind of accountability that I should be trying to follow. How can I speak this to others and not try to follow it myself? It's not that I may be able to follow it immediately, but at least it will keep ringing. Oh, you spoke about it in the Manasiksha class, or you spoke about it in the Harinam Sindhavani class. So many people heard. So at least it gives me that subtle. So when people who are unable to, so I'm giving my example just to say that when people who are unable to follow are speaking about it, there could be multiple reasons behind it. Like I speak, especially those principles which I struggle to follow, I make it a point to speak about it because in a forum, in the association of Vaishnavas, it gives that additional accountability and additional empowerment to follow it also, right? So therefore, a person could be speaking about it because of that also, with that motive also. So it is always good for us to understand this principle as a hearer, that he may not be pure, but the message that he is giving is pure. The book that he is quoting from is pure. The process that he is practicing is purifying process. So therefore, his not following is probably due to his inability to follow and not his unwillingness to follow. So these are some sutras that as hearers, if we keep in our mind, then we set to hear Bhagavatam, we will not be constantly judging the speaker. And at the same time, the speaker should see if he's speaking about something which is unable to follow, then he should speak with humility. If not, then it is not good from the speaker's point of view. Even if he may want to speak about it, he should speak about it with humility. So that is the principle. Okay, so these are some things that we discussed. Okay, Krishnanam Prabhu has something. Yes, Prabhu, Krishnanam Prabhu.
Sorry.
Ah, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandat Pranam.
Dandat Prabhu, Dandat Prabhu.
Prabhu, there is, after listening to the kind of lectures which you have been giving, and also some of the speakers like Gaurang Prabhu and so many other nice lectures. When we come across someone who gives a very mediocre lecture without much weightage in whatever he's communicating, then we tend to, I tend to develop a sort of not so good feeling towards him. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like listening to his lectures.
Mm-hmm.
So is that okay? I don't know whether that's the right attitude or how to overcome that.
So when you have a choice, because ultimately we, in today's day and age, most of what we listen is from online only. Yes. So when you listen online, you have a choice of whomever inspires you to hear from them, you have a choice. So that way it is no problem. But if you are attending a regular temple Bhagavatam class, and in which there is a rotation of speakers, and you see, first thing you see is who is the speaker. And if it's not a very interesting speaker, then you choose to not attend the Bhagavatam class. That is not valid. You know, that kind of an attitude is not a good attitude. But when you are listening online and if you, where you have a choice to choose whomever you feel inspired from to hear, then that is perfectly fine.
So somehow this tendency is there that when someone is a very mediocre speaker and they don't get much inspiration, try to say, why should I spend my time listening to this person? That kind of attitude I have.
Yeah.
As you say, it is something to be overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to do it, how to overcome that.
I mean, by understanding that this attitude is wrong, actually. That is the first step, that this attitude is not a very healthy attitude. By first understanding that, rather than justifying that this attitude is fine. So when we understand that this attitude, because honestly speaking, Guru, I have seen, having stayed in the ashram for a long time, I have seen some of the most sincere practitioners may not necessarily be very charismatic speakers. And sometimes some of the most charismatic speakers and inspiring speakers may be struggling with serious things, actually.
That's true.
So this is not, in one sense, we should understand this. So we have to see their piece also. And I have seen very boring speakers from, I'm openly telling, sir, you know, the way they speak is very boring. But then but they are like very, very, very sincere practitioners. If you respect them for their practice, then you will see actually jewels coming out of their boring externals. You know, what they speak, you will actually see some realizations pouring, which are very, very valuable, but spoken in a very non-charismatic way, actually. So therefore, yeah, someone is sharing that Jananivas Prabhu hears everyday Srimad Bhagavatam in temple, even if someone gives a Bengali class. You know, he may not understand Bengali, but he sits and hears. You know, because that is his respect for Bhagavatam, that is his respect for the Vyasasana and Vyasadeva. Like that.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu, you wanted to add something?
Yes, Prabhu. Actually, these discussions are very nice, because when such topics come, and especially in Manasiksha and the commentaries of all these great Vaishnavas, and it is making us think. And when the devotees are asking such questions, which they are actually thinking on that subject and trying to contemplate and trying to identify what are the subtle anarthas they are facing and going through. And when they're asking such question, it is very inspiring. Means we are also understanding, oh, I also have this problem. I didn't ask it because, or I did not think about it. But devotees are asking such questions. I want to thank them there. It's very helpful.
No, the same point, the good point, because when one person asks a question, it means at least 10 other people have the same question, but they are not either able to verbalize it, or they have, they have not able to formulate that question, or they are too shy to ask actually. But definitely
and
one person.
Sometimes it is we didn't contemplate on it, and other time is like when we want to hear the answer again, like we may have some answer for ourselves for the question, but when we hear it again 2-3 times, then it makes us more and more pakka. We will become in proper direction. So it is also very helpful to hear the answer again. Thank you, Guruji.
Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes, Leela Manjari Mataji. Leela Manjari Mataji, you raised your hands.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Very same thing what Radha Damodar Babu said, na, that this question that I don't have like sometime, that same question, how he worded so nicely and you answered so nicely. Thank you. Honestly, this question was lingering in my heart since many days.
Thank you, Mataji.
We tend to listen only to those speakers who are very shastric in nature. And kabhi kabhi jo log aisa thoda masala dalte na, that masala may be towards the spiritual life. It may not be wasting time. But then you tend to avoid. Nahi sunna hai. Matlab mujhe sirf jo shastra se nikla hai, wohi sunna hai. To isse bahut choosy ho jaate hain hum log kabhi kabhi. To mujhe bhi bahut guilty feeling hota tha. Ki are ye to... मतलब मेरे को भी ऐसे ही दिल से लगता था कि मैं अपराध कर रही हूँ बट ठीक है यू बोथ द साइड्स यू सेड दैट
या यू हैव टू लर्न टू बैलेंस माताजी स्पेशली अगर आप रोज आपका स्केड्यूल में गिरिधारी टेंपल में जाके भागवतम क्लास सुनने का वो आपका स्केड्यूल में है
right.
और इफ यू आर एवरीडे हियरिंग टू राधा गोपीनाथ online Bhagavatam. So
yes.
then definitely whoever speaks, you hear. You know. So that should be our attitude.
Right.
But when you're hearing for your personal nourishment, you have a choice. You can choose, especially aaj ka zamane mein, you know, everything is there in ISKCON Desire Tree or YouTube. So that way, that time you can choose to hear from someone from whom you feel nourished. So that is the point. That is always.
I want to confess one thing. I hear Bhagavatam almost every day, almost like, and it may not be full Bhagavatam, maybe half an hour, maybe 40 minutes, maybe 1 hour. Depends like time schedule. But then sometime when I see XYZ speaker, Then I let go, like then
go
I
let. Ha, means oh, you let go. You don't.
I let go and I put on either Maharaj's class. I'll otherwise my pending classes like Mana Siksha mein pending hai, Harinam Chintamani pending hai, kuch Bhagavad Gita class pending hai. Yahan koi Shastri ki speaker hai, jiska like I want to hear. Like someone says that okay, Bhakti Rasamaya Maharaj has given this class very nicely. You will listen to it. So then I'll put Bhakti Rasamaya Swami's class. So then I
that is that is natural, Mataji. We don't have to feel guilty about it. That is natural. But having said that, we should internally ask ourselves, how much respect do I have for the subject matter, and how much respect do I have for the Vyasasan? So वैसे ऐसा नहीं होना चाहिए कि आप टेम्पल हॉल में आए भागवतम क्लास शुरू हो रहा है और देखिए कि अरे ये स्पीकर है क्या चलो मैं थोड़ा बाहर चले जाता हूँ और कुछ करता हूँ ऐसा नहीं होना चाहिए मतलब इट शुड नॉट हैपन लाइक दैट
राइट राइट
और यू केम ऑल द वे फ्रॉम यू नो फ्रॉम मीरा रोड टू चौपाटी एंड यू नो बिकॉज दे अनाउंस स्पीकर बट वो स्पीकर को थोड़ा ही बिकेम सिक और समथिंग लाइक दैट And some other alternative speaker came, and then you are cursing yourself. Arey, itna time waste karke udhar se idhar tak aa gaya, abhi kya ho gaya? You know, like that. You know, it should not happen.
That should no. That one. Thank you for being very balanced answer. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okay, okay. Last question. We will end with this question. Chandra Rekha Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes,
Prabhuji, I have a question like in battlefield of Kurukshetra, so there we hear that in daytime they fight, but when any enemy comes on their shiver, they treat them like a friends. So, mm-hmm. so they have so much hatred in the battlefield that they fight with each opposite parties. But when they come in their shivir, mm-hmm. they treat him just like their friendship there, na? So, but yeah. then how is it possible? Because like we have some ill feelings for another person, we cannot be that. Is it how it possible? Is it duplicity? Is it not duplicity that we are having something inside in our heart? But when that people coming in our house, so that time I'm not able to understand this thing. This I all many times I've questioned because abhi hamare sath koi bura karta hai, to hum Prabhu ji uske sath. मतलब हम नहीं कर सकते हमारे को सामने देखते उस पर गुस्सा आएगा बट वो लोग कैसे टू थिंग्स मैनेज करते हैं वो डुप्लीसिटी तो ऑफ कोर्स नहीं है बट देन हाउ इज इट दैट दे हैव इंटरनली मतलब गुस्सा भी आ रहा है बट वो और फ्रेंडली भी एक्ट
कर आई मीन इन वन सेंस वी हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट द क्षत्रियास दे आर वेरी एक्सट्रीमली ड्यूटी बाउंड व्हेन इट कम्स टू when it comes to fighting. So Kshatriyas don't fight just because they feel angry and agitated. That is not so in fighting, they are duty bound to fight. So when there is the duty bound to fight, so after the duty gets over, you know, then they are able to mingle freely like that. So it's they are just executing their duty. So so that is the point. In our case also, is it your question is it duplicity that if I'm not able to internally trust someone, should I externally respect him? You know, this is yeah. one struggle that I have. If I cannot internally trust someone, I struggle very much to externally show respect also. But the basic respect should be shown. I mean, this is an art that should be learned in order to help ourselves overcome offenses. So we may not be able to trust a person, but we should be willing to give basic respect to that person. That art we have to learn, and it is an art which is non-negotiable art if we wish to progress on the path of devotional service. We cannot not learn this art and hope to progress on the path of devotional service. Very difficult.
Will not that be cheating that internally?
That is not cheating. No. See, I may not be able to trust that person, but we can. You can read the process that he is practicing. Because the process that he is practicing is Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. He may not be Dharmatma now, but the process that he is practicing is capable of making him into a Dharmatma. And on whatever it is, but I don't want to... So we may not be able to... we don't have to do an glorification session of him. But at least basic respect we can give. So that is something that we have to learn to do, because there will all be people whom we will not like. So it's not that, but basic respect. It's not that you go to his face and tell Prabhuji, you are my greatest inspiration. You are my favorite devotee. You don't have to tell that. That would definitely be duplicity. But basic respect one can give. That, you know, if he's offering obeisances, you offer obeisances, you can say Hare Krishna, smile at him. These are small things we can do with every devotee. But beyond that, you don't, if you go and just so that you want to get some things done from him, and for that you externally glorify him, but internally you're cursing him, then that is wrong. That is duplicity.
And if the other person, because of some quarrel, if the other person is not saying Hare Krishna, so is it that I am, because of Krishna conscious understanding, I want to do it, but because he or she is not doing it, so should I fold in my hands, or just within my heart I respect him or her?
I mean, these are details, Mataji. You can always you know, as
no, but just Netra, as a like a being a devotee, being progress in devotional life, we have to be respectful to all, even if we are all. This is what I want.
Yeah,
to.
if you can set the right example, many times, you know, other people's response depends on our activity also. So sometimes we may not act. They don't act properly, and if we also don't act properly, then it demotivates them to act properly next time also. So that way it gets compounded and compounded and compounded more. So, but sometimes when you break the cycle, then it gives them the strength to break that cycle from their side also. So that way it becomes an auspicious cycle. So you can break the vicious cycle by, you know, an auspicious endeavor like that.
So this is the right way to always be respectful. It's not a cheating. It's like this is to progress in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah,
we have
definitely.
To be respectful,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Too many questions today. Somehow we are not able to start today's session. And I see some questions in the chat box also. Let's see if something relevant I will take. Otherwise, I will just... So attentive, one, I don't know if it's a comment or a question. Attentiveness towards the speak, towards the words of the speaker is directly proportional to the character of the speaker. It is very natural human tendency, actually. Especially in spiritual life, this is a very natural human tendency that attentiveness towards the words of the speaker is directly proportional to the character of the speaker. I mean, it's very, very natural. Very natural. Human tendency, very natural devotee tendency. But having said that, we can have attentiveness towards the book also, right? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. So if he is speaking from Bhagavatam, we don't have to, why do we have to give all the credit to the speaker? Why not to the book from which he is speaking? So we can be attentive to the subject matter that he is speaking about, right? And we can be attentive to the seat in which he is sitting and delivering. You know, he is representing Vyasadeva. So these are, I mean, even though I am speaking these things, I honestly, you know, even I have my favorite speakers and, you know, I don't deal with all speakers the same way, but I know that this is not the right consciousness actually. But still, it's human. It's very natural. But still, one should try to work on it. Okay, so I think we'll have to move ahead. Let's move ahead. It's already 8 o'clock. So 1 hour, we just have 1 more hour to cover today's section. And then I will pause. What I'll do is I will pause after this section. How many slides are there? Oh, this is a long section, but still let us complete this section and then pause for questions. So if you have questions, please note it down. And if it's a very heavy section and if I feel that I need to pause in between, I will pause. Otherwise, we will pause after the end of this section because we have had a long Q&A session. So I will try not to pause in the middle of this section unless I really feel that I need to pause because the nature of the subject matter may be very heavy. So I'll have to pause in between. If not, I will end this section. So in between, if you have any question, please do note it down. Note it down and we will take it towards the end. If you have a question or a comment or some reflections you might want to share. Okay. So we are going to discuss a very, very important topic, which is offenses and cheating, the relationship. So we are going to discuss this now. Okay, so hypocrisy generates offenses. We saw this already. Maharaj spoke about this. Hypocrisy behavior naturally generates offenses because this will extend towards the Vaishnava and eventually the spiritual master also. in referring to a verse from the Vishnu Puran, Vishnu Dharmottara Puran, Srila Jiva Goswami also says that when a person does not stop themselves from committing offenses, then 100 offenses make a person a hypocrite. So, I mean, whatever may be the number, but the point is, if we keep committing offenses, then at some point the offenses will make us hypocrite. The more we offend, the more we are prone to becoming a hypocrite. That is the point that he's making here. Offenses and hypocrisy are thus each related as cause and effect of each other. The more we offend, the more we will develop hypocritical behavior. Andar ek bahar hai. And jo bhi andar hai, usko mujhe logon se chupana hai. That tendency will increase more and more the more we keep offending people. Therefore, lack of sincerity is the result of having already committed offenses against some Vaishnavas or against a spiritual master. So if we are struggling with sincerity in our spiritual practices, it is most likely or very likely or a good chance that it is because of our offensive attitude or already having committed offenses towards, especially towards the Vaishnavas or towards the spiritual master. Okay. So, further on, he says that 1,000 offenses deprive a person of the opportunity to perform austerities in the name of bhakti. Bhogadi tyaga krishnasya hetave. Srila Rupa Goswami says, one should be willing to give up sense gratification for the purpose of progressing on the path of devotional service. So the more we start committing offenses, the less we will become capable of performing austerities for progressing on the path of bhakti. And if we do not stop there but go on committing further offenses, we lose our power and cannot follow even the basic principles of spiritual life. Okay. So the first effect of offenses, the first effect is that he becomes a hypocrite. And then if he does not stop there, he loses his ability to perform devotional austerities. And if he continues, then loses his ability to even follow basic principles. He may not even be able to chant basic prescribed number of rounds. Right. So, first, a person offends the Vaishnavas and for a while, everything seems all right. It's not that you offend now and in 2 minutes you will start a reaction. It's not like that. They go on offending them and slandering them as much as possible behind their backs. Sooner or later, after a certain point, they will have no power to follow the basic principles. Further, it is said that 10,000 offenses deprive a person of the opportunity to practice bhakti. So then the fourth stage is he loses Shraddha. This is the order. So when we start committing offenses, first we become hypocrites. Andar ek bahar ek. Then gradually we lose our ability to perform devotional austerities. then further if we continue to commit offenses, we lose our ability to even follow basic principles, and eventually we lose Shraddha, our basic faith to practice devotional service, which is the basic qualification for practicing bhakti. So, of course, Maharaj says, all these numerical values should not be taken literally. But the point is that if people do not stop committing offenses, then in the end, they will lose the opportunity to even pronounce the holy name. It's not that, you know, in their tongue, they will get some ulcers or something like that. It means they will lose the faith in the potency of the holy name. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said of the Mayavadi sannyasis in Banaras that he came to these great pundits, but despite all of their knowledge, their tongue cannot pronounce Krishna. They say Brahman, Brahman, but their tongue cannot say Krishna. So that is the why offenses. Because the whole Mayavad philosophy is an offensive philosophy. So because of these offenses, they finally lose their ability to even chant the names of Krishna, which is the basic basic devotional principle, because of the faith. Here, Raghunath Das Goswami warns us against this cycle of offenses and deceit. So in order to give up deceit, we have to give up offenses actually. Because this is one very important aspect of deceit. We cannot be offensive and at the same time hope to overcome hypocrisy and deceit. That's what he's telling. He says that everything starts very innocently with just a slight tendency to small deceptions. Therefore, the two topmost qualities of the devotees are determination and simplicity in order to realize the supreme ideal of devotional service. If we can learn to be simple and determined in devotional service, then it becomes very easy to attain the goal. So, simplicity will protect us against offenses and will help us preserve pure, simple faith without obscuring it. So what is the, so two principles are simplicity and determination. Okay. So how does simplicity help us? Simplicity helps us by protecting us against offenses and it also helps us preserve pure and simple faith. है तो है नहीं तो नहीं है ऐसा नहीं कि नहीं है पर है बोल के बाहर बोल रहे राइट सो दिस सिंप्लिसिटी विल हेल्प अस प्रिजर्व प्योर एंड सिंपल फेथ नाउ हाउ विल डिटर्मिनेशन हेल्प अस इसे महाराज से डिटर्मिनेशन विल हेल्प अस ओवरकम all obstacles that may come in the on the path of devotional service. So if we have these two qualities, we will attain Krishna. Simplicity and determination. If we don't have these two simple qualities, we will not be able to understand anything like that. So then Maharaj says, bhakti is our attempt to enter into a relationship with God Himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have already mentioned that in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva calls Krishna Param Satya, the absolute truth. This means that to enter into a relationship with Krishna, we must acquire the same nature of truth. So this he is talking in relationship with simplicity. Because simplicity means simple truthfulness. So we cannot hope to attain the or establish a relationship with the absolute truth by not having the simple nature of truthfulness. Okay, there is, okay. Once again, someone wants me to repeat the point of simplicity and determination. He says, how does simplicity help us? He says, simplicity helps us by protecting us against offenses. And also it helps us preserve pure and simple faith. That is how simplicity helps us. And determination helps us overcome all obstacles in devotional service. So in this way, simplicity and determination helps us progress on the path of devotional service. So so he continues that if we, so which means, this means that in order to enter into a relationship with Krishna, we must acquire the same nature of truth. So which means we have to have a simple faith and a simplicity of heart. With a duplicitous nature, we cannot hope to attain the absolute truth. He says we cannot have a different nature because then a relationship with Krishna would be impossible. That is why we are discussing, you know, levels of anarthas which we have to overcome. So therefore, in the fourth verse, we saw the first, the grossest anarthas which we have to go, which we have to overcome are Asadvartha, Muktikata, and Lakshmipati Rati. Asadvartha means engagement in activities which increases one's material thirst. Asat Krishna. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbhaktir vinashyati. So these are the six things which enhances our thirst for material enjoyment. So we should be willing to give it up. And second is mukti katha, speaking too much about mukti, 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 overcoming material miseries. So that also we can, so that we should be willing to give up. And then the third thing is Lakshmipati Ratim. Attachment to worshipping any other form other than Radha and Krishna. So if we have attachment to worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, we should worship Lakshmi Narayan, but the attachment should be to worship Krishna and Radharani. That is the point. So he says, even in the material world, so that is the grossest anartha. So then subtler than that is lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, and pride, which are compared to the highway robbers. So and then the third layer, most subtler anarthas, are this deceit, kapata, kutinati, deceit, hypocrisy, and pretense. This is little more subtler. And then there is one more subtle, the subtlest layer of anartha, which will be discussed in the next verse. So unless we remove all these layers of anarthas, we cannot hope to establish a relationship with the absolute truth. That's what here he is describing. Yes. Even in the material world, if we consider the signs of relations between human beings, astrology recommends selecting those whose nature is as close as possible to our own. Any difference in nature will eventually bring about a conflict. This is the point. right? Even in astrology, when fixing a marriage, okay, the point is the astrologer checks the two horoscopes and sees that how many matches, you know, in how many qualities, you know, there is a match. The maximum number of match, the greater will be the compatibility, lesser will be the conflict. So especially in case of devotees, if there is too much incompatibility, then lot of time will be wasted in each other adjusting to the other person's incompatible quality, and less time will be left for engaging in Krishna consciousness. So, but rather if you choose a person with compatible qualities, then most of it, if the greater the compatible qualities, then the lesser time will have to be spent, the lesser the time that needs to be spent in matching, in dealing with each other's incompatibility, and more time can be spent in positively worshipping Krishna. So that's the point Maharaj is making here. So if this is the case with a relationship in the material world, if this is the case with respect to relation between two jivas who are inherently of the same quality, and both staying in the material world, then how much more is it important, is this nature match important, to establish a relationship between two different species, one a Vishnu Tattva, another a Jiva Tattva. One is in the spiritual world, another is in the material world. One is not conditioned, another is conditioned. Right? So one is the source of all bewilderment, another can get supremely bewildered. Right? So Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. So two totally different species, even though there are some similarities, but there are many, many dissimilarities also. So basically he says, so therefore, if we hope to establish a relationship with the absolute truth, relationship with Krishna, then we will have to try to match as many qualities as possible, which means remove these layers of anarthas, because these layers of anarthas are not present in Krishna. So we are discussing currently the third layer of anartha, which is actually hypocrisy, deceit and pretense. Right, to a much greater degree, I'm sorry, I just got a phone call, I forgot to mute my phone, just hold on for a second. Okay, so he says, to a much greater degree, this is true in terms of our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must acquire 100% the same nature. That is, we must become absolutely pure, just as we cannot approach the sun unless we have a body of fire like the sun. So if we have a body of water, then we will evaporate, right? When we go close to the sun. The Prabhupada's example. So when we take up the path of bhakti, it is like fire rapidly burning up all our impurities. Kleshagni happens. All these impurities gets burnt. If we properly practice bhakti, the process of bhakti is capable of burning all the anarthas. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati. Kaunteya pratidyanihi name bhakta punashyati. Like that. The holy name can almost immediately cleanse the human heart of all sins. But there is something very significant preventing this, and it is offenses. The holy name is capable of immediately purifying the heart, but it is offenses that prevent the holy name from acting very effectively. So if we commit them while taking up the path of bhakti, these offenses deprive bhakti of its power. we practice bhakti, but instead of purifying us, bhakti can sometimes contaminate us. Because by offensively practicing bhakti, instead of watering the bhakti lata creeper, we will be watering the weeds. This seems paradoxical, but the situation is exactly what Raghunath Das Goswami is writing about here. We are bathing in urine and therefore not getting cleaner but more dirtier. So similar, and if we are bathing in the ocean of nectar, there would be no problems. We would get clean very soon. So bathing in the urine is actually just hold on. I'll just give me 1 second. Seems like an important call. Give me just 1 second. I will just attend this call. And okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. So the point is, if you are bathing in the ocean of nectar, there would be no problems. You'd get clean very soon. So the problem is that we start bathing in the donkey urine of our own deception, which is the urine of the offenses we are committing. So he mentioned that one of the first effects of committing offenses is we start becoming very deceptive and hypocritical. So therefore, this deception and hypocrisy will not help us progress on the path of devotional service. This will become a very, very serious obstacle. And the root cause of all this hypocrisy and deception is offenses. So unless we don't address this offensive mentality, then it becomes very, very difficult. Right? So anyway, so let's continue. So that's the reason our hearts grow hard. Bhakti is supposed to soften our heart, which the acharyas compare to butter. Love makes a person very sympathetic. A loving person will never hurt those they love. Therefore, Prahlad says, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana. When a person attains bhakti, immediately all the best qualities emerge. But sometimes we actually see that, you know, especially after taking up to bhakti, we have become so insensitive and hard-hearted and rude. Many of those qualities which we never thought we had even before coming to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, how many times has it happened to you that people told, "Arey, bhakti mein aane se pehle aap to bahut acche the." And after coming to bhakti, you have become so judgmental, so rude, so insensitive, always finding faults. So basically, we are not able to sensitively deal. We are not able to sympathize with people's struggles. And we become so rigid and, hard-hearted. So it's probably a result of offenses. But one thing that we have to see, you know, some of us are followers. I mean, all of us are followers and leaders also at various levels. So if we see that people under us, they are having problems. Oh, he is offensive. Another person having problems. Oh, he is offensive. Third person is having problem. Oh, he is offensive. So, but we have to see, if more and more people are leaving, and we may say that he is offensive, then as a leader, we have to see oh, is there some problem with the system that I have set up, or is there a problem with me that people are developing an offensive attitude? So the diagnosis may be right. You know, you may see, oh, these are the symptom of offenses. Madhurya Kadambini says, Bhakti Sandarbha says clearly. But why is it that more and more people under me are showing these symptoms? So that introspection we should get. Because I remember once one devotee, you know, I was sharing something with him. You know, he was asking my experience with a particular devotee group. And I said, Prabhuji, I initially got connected, but that mood did not suit me. So I did not practice. But later when I got connected to some other group, then the mood was more compatible. So I started practicing. He said, okay. So he said that only you did not join them. I said, no, Prabhuji. Yeah. One or two of us, we did not join, but almost like some 15-20 devotees, they joined that group and they started practicing. So this devotee asked me, so what happened to them? So he said, oh yeah, as far as I know, some of them left the practice completely after 5 years, some of them after 7 years. Some of them after 10 years, some of them after 15 years. But of the 20 who took up to the process very sincerely, maybe one or two are still practicing Krishna consciousness. Rest all have given up Krishna consciousness only. So the response was, immediate response was, oh, they must be offenders. They must have committed Vaishnava Parad. Probably it's a very fair, you can say, conclusion. Probably it's a perfect conclusion. But I would ask, if 18 out of 20 people leave a particular system because of offenses, then I would say, why is that system breeding offenders? First thing is, whether that conclusion itself is right or wrong is debatable. But let's say for theory's sake that yes, it is true that they left, 18 out of 20 people left because of offenses. Now my question is, shouldn't the leader think that if 18 out of 20 people are leaving because of offenses, is there something wrong with the system that I have administered, that it is breeding offenders? Isn't the system supposed to facilitate people to move from more offensive to less offensive to lesser offensive to lesser offensive and more vibrant practice of bhakti? Why is it that from very vibrant, they come to a stage of not practicing bhakti only? Yes, it is true that Jiva Goswami says, in Bhakti Sandarbha, as we just read, the first symptom of offenses is hypocrisy. Then we lose our ability to practice devotional austerity. And then the third, even the basic principles we struggle to practice. And then eventually we give up bhakti only. So it is true that what you have guessed is right, that the people have left because of offenses. But then the question, there is a more deeper question that is involved. If, why is the system breeding offenders? Why the people who enter the system are not becoming more soft-hearted, less offensive, very vibrant practitioners of devotional service? Why should people after 10, 15 years of practicing devotional service give up devotional service? So this is something, because you know, this there is a personal application part, and there is an institutional application part also to this. So as persons, we have to introspect, am I committing an offense? But as a leader, also we have to see, am I committing an offense? But if in a system, if you see many, many people are pushed to committing offenses, rather than pointing out he's an offender, we have to see, why is the system breeding offenders? Can some change be made? Can some change be brought in to actually inspire a more amicable, non-judgmental, non-offensive attitude, to inspire a non-judgmental, non-offensive attitude amongst devotees? So this is something that we need to introspect as leaders, rather than just pointing out, telling, oh, he's offensive. Why are so many people under you becoming offensive? So that is something that we need to introspect. If we don't introspect as leaders, then we will have a group of people coming and we will have a group of people leaving. And the only explanation that we have to give is, oh, all of them are offenders. But then we have to introspect and ask, why is the system breeding offenders? So this is something that we need to remember, actually. So bhakti itself is what makes a person marvelous and very attractive. But he also says that if people have bhakti, their minds are always fixed upon or attached to external things. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manoratena sati dhavato bahihi. So that's the verse that he is quoting, right? So so then in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another very important verse, 3:19:36. Yo gajendram jashagrastam dhyayantam charanam bujam kroshantinam karenunam krichrato mochayad drutam tam sukaradyam rujubir ananya sharanay drubihi kritagya konu seveta duraradyam asadubihi. Okay. So we have a lot of slides left. Okay. Let's see how we can do. Okay, he says, Kritagya kono seveta. What grateful person would not worship? Yaha amochayad drutam. What grateful person would not worship that person? Yaha amochayad, who rescued drutam, very quickly rescued Krishrato Gajendram. Gajendra, who was in great distress. Jashagrastam, when he was caught by the crocodile. Kroshantinam karenunam, when his wives were greatly lamenting. Dhyayantam charanambujam, all that Gajendra did was meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. And who is this Krishna? Tam sukha aradyam, who is very easy to be worshipped, or who is very willingly worshipped by Rijubir. Rijubir means who are very sincere. Ananya Sharanair. Rijubir Ananya Sharanair. Who have sincerely surrendered only to Krishna and no one else. Duraradyam Asadubhi. But he cannot be worshipped by the crooked people. Which means crooked people, hypocritical people, offensive people will lose the ability and interest and inspiration to worship Krishna. Tam sukadyam rujubir ananya sharanair nribihi kritagya kona seveta duraradyam asadubihi. So this is the point. When there is no rujubir, when there is no simplicity, rujubihi also means sincerity or simplicity. When there is crookedness or offensive mentality leads to hypocrisy, then hypocrisy becomes inability to follow devotional austerities, then inability to follow even basic principles of bhakti, and eventually one loses the ability to worship Krishna only. one loses bhakti. So that is kritajna kono seveta durarajyam asadubhi. This verse says that it is very easy to worship Krishna. Aradhyam means to worship and sukham means very easily and joyfully. Those who can easily worship him are called as rujubihi, those who have a simple heart. Ananya sharanayam rubihi, they have taken exclusive shelter of Krishna. So those who have taken exclusive shelter of Krishna and those who have a simple heart, they can easily worship Krishna. Kritajna means they have a grateful heart. This is a very important word in this verse. So to worship Krishna, one has to be a rijubihi. Rijubihi means simple, at heart. Okay. Then you have to be ananya sharanaihi. Means have no other shelter other than Krishna. And the third is kritajna, which means grateful. So if we have these three qualities, if we develop gratitude, if we develop some simple heart, and if we take exclusive shelter of Krishna, then worshipping Krishna becomes, then worshipping Krishna becomes very joyful. It becomes very pleasant and joyful. A simple heart means a grateful heart. If the heart is grateful, we will do anything for the one we love. If we are grateful to Krishna who has given us everything, we will do anything for Krishna. Right? This is simple. A simple heart means a grateful heart. If the heart is grateful, then we will do anything for the person whom we love. Like that. But then it is said, durarādhyam asādubhihi. But if persons are asādhu and their hearts are defiled above all by deception, durarādhyam, it is very difficult for them to worship Krishna. So if our heart is filled with deception, then worshipping Krishna becomes very, very difficult. Obstacles will naturally arise in the process of worshipping Krishna. Since we have taken up the path of bhakti, we have this unfortunate possibility of committing offenses, primarily using bhakti for our own purposes. So this is one problem. You know, because we have taken up the path of bhakti, there is a chance that we may commit offenses also. So this becomes very difficult. Yeah, there is a question here. Is gratitude in only words or in actions as well? Sometimes we glorify devotees, thanking them in words, but not in actions. How should I resolve this? Resolve it by acting also and not just words. So, yeah, definitely gratitude means in words and actions. So if we are struggling to... if you are doing it just in words, then we should try to do it in actions also. Yeah. So, okay, let me pause here because this is a long section. So let us see if there are any quick comments, discussion points about what we have discussed till now in this section, where we are discussing the connection between offenses and hypocrisy, or deceit and offenses. Any quick comments before we move ahead to complete the rest of the section? Okay. If there is none, then we will continue. Okay. Okay. There is Madhavi Gopi Mataji who has raised her hand. Yes, Madhavi.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, like general tendency, we just discussed that sometimes due to the offenses, people may give up the devotional practice altogether, or they may not be, after 10,000 offenses, they may not be able to chant the holy name. Mm-hmm. So I was feeling that many times when we talk about the non-devotees, mm-hmm. our approach is kind of a negative thing we have, that wo to non-devotee. Like, so I was feeling that, is it that maybe that person was a devotee and because of the offenses he lost the capacity to chant, or he lost the capacity to perform any devotional service, and that mm-hmm. is why we see him as non-devotee today?
Oh, so, you mean you knew that he was first practicing devotional service and then eventually gave up devotional service?
Not that. What I mean is, maybe
you see a non-devotee, is that any non-devotee who see was a devotee before and due to offenses he gave up devotional service, like
he
that
gave up devotion and now we see him, maybe this is his second birth, first birth, whatever, but now we are seeing he is the non-devotee, but and we treat that person, means at least I know I don't treat non-devotees.
Your voice, I am not able to hear, Mataji. I don't know if others are able to hear your voice. Your voice is not audible. Are others able to hear?
Yeah.
Your voice broke off, Mataji, in between. We could not hear you.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. What I was saying is, when we see non-devotee, there is...
Yeah, we are not able to hear you. Yeah, your voice is not audible, Mataji. Maybe you can type it in the chat box. Then we will take it up, Mataji. Your voice is not audible.
Take up the, you know, devotional service.
Your voice was not audible, Mataji. We could not hear you. I think you have some problem with your internet connection. If you can just type the question, Mataji, then we will take it up. Okay, please type the question, then we will take it up. We are not able to hear your voice. Okay, so there is another question in the chat box. Is it also because one is hypocrite and not simple, one commits offenses? Not just as discussion going due to offenses, one hearts become. It is a vicious cycle. The more hypocritical we are, the more it breeds offenses, and the more we commit offenses, our ability to then we become hypocrites also and deceptive. So it is all both in both ways, like that. Okay. So we will see if we can complete a little more portion. So he has been discussing about so obstacles which are arising out of committing offenses. But because we have taken up this path of bhakti, we have this unfortunate possibility of committing offenses, primarily using bhakti for our own purposes. So we forget, and this is the very beginning of the mistake people make at first. We forget that bhakti is the goal in itself. Bhakti is not the means to achieve something else. So bhakti is the goal in itself. It is not the means to attain something else. It is not that we need something else, such as material prosperity or liberation. And this is why we practice bhakti. Bhakti is the goal. Okay. But when we start using bhakti as the means for our prosperity, we are deceiving Krishna, and thus we are committing an offense. So this is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So this is the 10th offense. This is the offense that lives in our hearts. We want something for ourselves. At the same time, in pursuit of transient instant benefit, we lose our eternal benefit. So having anya abhilasha while practicing bhakti. So this may be subtle or this may be gross. So, but it leads to, it may be subtle or gross, but the point is it leads to an offensive attitude, right? There are two fundamental principles which help us to keep our bhakti pure. So two fundamental principles which help us to keep our bhakti pure. Okay, what are those two? He says respect and gratitude. Those are respect and gratitude. In the traditional Vedic system, a person is taught very consistently to respect their elders, to respect all living beings, and to be grateful. So if we can develop these two qualities, then it is possible to save our Bhakti Lata creeper. When a person has these two simple qualities, it is easier to practice bhakti. Otherwise, obstacles will arise. So even if we may not have these qualities, we should practice them. So there is a difference between having respect as a virtue and being respectful. Right? So even though we may not feel a lot of respect towards the teacher or a class teacher, but still we act in a respectful way because we know that if I don't respect, then the consequences are very bad. The teacher may fail me in the exam, I may not progress to the next class or whatever, right? So we understand that it is favorable for my bhakti, even though I may not have that respectful attitude as a virtue, but I have to act respectfully. Okay. So these are like simple things, and gratitude. So gratitude comes when we meditate on what we have received. That's why the Sanskrit word for gratitude is kritagnya. Kritagnya means he understands what the other person has done for him. Krita gya. So when you really understand, or when we really understand what we have received, it naturally leads to gratitude. So we have to do these two things, and we have to look for evidences to see if we are prone to becoming disrespectful or not. Like say, for example, simple things, when we are, even that which we could do with our hands, if we are doing with our feet, it's a simple thing, but it is probably a symptom that we are disrespectful. That which you could do with your hands, you're doing it with your feet. You can move a bucket with your hands, but if you're moving it with your feet, it could be a symptom of disrespect. And if you are disrespecting things, then we are disrespecting. Then we are prone to disrespecting people. And if you are prone to disrespecting people, we are prone to disrespecting Vaishnavas also. And if we disrespect Vaishnavas, then our practice of bhakti will become very difficult. So these are two simple qualities that if we try to cultivate respect and gratitude. The mind is programmed to enjoy by feeling its superiority over others. That's how we, when we feel that the other person is not doing as well as we are, then we feel very, very good that, yes, actually I'm good, I'm better. So we can say this desire to feel superior over others is the operating system of the mind. When a person takes up the spiritual path, the same program continues to function, and we still try to prove our superiority over Vaishnavas, and in due course, over our guru, and eventually over Krishna. So this need to feel superior, this is the natural operating system of the mind. In the mind, there is a very clear algorithm for proving its superiority over others. In order to do this, it must see the faults of others. So this is the natural programming. Sometimes we have to resist the natural program. We many times do that, you know. Till your ninth class, you know, your mind naturally wants to, you know, play and enjoy. And you do. But when you come to the 10th class or your 12th class, when you have board exam, you have your entrance exams, then you curb the natural propensity and act in a way which may not be very natural to your mind. So therefore, this wanting to be superior, wanting to be seen superior, and wanting to be actually superior to others is a natural tendency of the mind. But we have to curb it, because this is by understanding that this is not favorable for my Krishna consciousness. So this is how the mind works independently of us, because the soul knows that this is not good for my progress on the path of devotion service, but the mind works independent of the soul. We do not need to force the mind to look for these faults. It will find them itself. The mind will find these faults itself. Jiva Goswami explains that a result of this desire for superiority, as a result of this desire for superiority, a person seems to be outwardly worshipping the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, the sadhus and Krishna, while inside disrespect for them is appearing. Such a person starts looking for material qualities in them, so they can feel superior. So even in other Vaishnavas, we tend to see that person may be chanting very attentive, much more attentive rounds than us, but we say, oh, what is the big deal? Anyway, he's not giving very good classes. So we start looking for material qualities so that we can feel superior. They look at the Vaishnavas and see them as non-Vaishnavas. They do not see the essential quality of the Vaishnava and how rare they are. How many people really strive for God or are ready to give up something for His sake? But all we see are perceived bad qualities. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls the anarthas that grow along with bhakti as upashaka. Upa means secondary and shaka means branch. In tropical countries, parasitic species grow on the host trees, sucking out the juices of the original tree until it dries out. So they grow from the trunk or root of the same tree. But while growing, they will take all the nutrition that the mother tree is giving, and the mother tree will dry up, and the parasitic tree, parasitic branch, it will get nourished. The same thing happens to us. If we project the material tendencies that are within us onto the sphere of bhakti without trying to hinder them, then eventually these material tendencies grow stronger and completely destroy our bhakti. Like so many things, you know, you may start comparing, he is giving class, I am giving class. Let me see how many people are attending his classes, how many people are attending my classes, how many likes he gets, how many likes I get. And then if we start comparing these kind of material things, you know, instead of seeing the essential quality of the Vaishnava and how rare they are, then the whole problem starts actually. Anyway, so that brings us to the end of this connection between offenses and deceit. It's a long section, we have discussed a lot, I'm sure. We still have just 5 minutes left. I'm sure there must be some discussion points, comments, questions. So we have 5 minutes to take. But definitely, I guarantee you next week, even though this last part we have rushed a little bit, we did not have time to discuss, but I'm sure this will be, in next week, when we come together, Radha Pramod Prabhu will summarize it a little bit more elaborately. And if there are further discussion points, we will discuss it also. But any quick comments and our discussion points before we wind up for the day? It's already 8:56. But if any quick comments, discussion points, then we will take before we wind up for the day. Okay, so if there is none, then we will stop today a little early. Well, there is a question in the chat box. How can we be simple? So that is the question. Well, if it is not there in the heart, it is not there. But it's okay. See, sometimes, we may think we are simple, but we may not be simple. So how do we develop it? So see, one thing is when we value something, when we understand something's value, then we try to get it also. So that is the point. So in order to acquire something, we should first start valuing it. So if we understand first thing, we should start valuing devotional progress. When we start valuing devotional progress, then we would naturally want to know what all are important, what are the things that are needed for devotional progress. So then you understand that simplicity is a very important quality that is needed. So then you realize that you don't have it. But still, we may try to at least act in a very simple way. Act in a non-complicated way, so that even though we may not inherently have that virtue, but understanding that its value in our spiritual life, we may try to act in that way. So and seeing that sincerity, Krishna may empower us also. Okay, here he has understood the importance of simplicity and non-duplicitous nature. So even though he has a duplicitous nature, but he is valuing devotional service, and because of which he is taking a sincere effort to act in a very simple way, even though it is not his nature. So when Krishna sees that, Krishna empowers us to actually develop that quality also. Okay, so I think we will pause here, and thank you all very much for your very patient listening and your enthusiastic participation also. Very relevant questions were asked, very nice participation, very nice reflections were shared by devotees. I really wish to thank you for that. So we will continue this discussion tomorrow. For those of you who are in this session, I'll just want to, because you may not be there in the BSD Bhakti Courses Info group. So we have created a WhatsApp group in which we send reminders for all the courses. There are multiple courses happening. And since the past 2 days, we have started morning japa session also. So for those of you who do not have easy access to temples close by, and you don't have association with which you can chant, so we have started Zoom japa session, same ID and password. So interested devotees can always join in the morning. 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Indian Standard Time, we chant. So, I mean, if you have time and if you have a need and interest, you can always join. It's not necessary that you have to join at 5 and stay till 7. Depending on your convenience, you can join later, stay till end, or join early and leave in between, or join in between, leave in between, according to your convenience. So whatever it is. So the facility is there, and we'll be grateful if you come to give your association to us also. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad ki jai. Shri Manasiksha ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.